This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Here with a glimpse at the future of television. A new feature in the Journal says that if you think binge-watching was a game changer, it's only the beginning as we look at how network leaders are placing bets on just how the essential audience experience will evolve. That's after these tech headlines. Apple, seeking to make good on its promise to strengthen its contributions to the economy, is planning to invest $1 billion to build a new campus in Austin that could create 15,000 jobs. Apple said it would also establish new offices in three cities, San Diego, Seattle, and Culver City, California, where it says it will add more than 1,000 employees in each place. The announcement follows big new investment and job creation plans by other big tech firms, including Amazon and Alphabet's Google. Samsung plans to close a Chinese smartphone factory in the next 2 weeks. This comes as the tech giant shifts manufacturing to India and its sales flounder in China, the world's largest handset market. China remains an important market for Samsung, a spokesman said in a statement, pledging to continue investing in its Chinese factories. Of note, Samsung and its affiliates make batteries, memory chips, and other electronic components in China. The Samsung spokesman declined to comment beyond the company's statement. And it appears that the holiday season is looking merrier for Nintendo after a difficult summer, thanks to a hot-selling new Super Smash Bros. Game and early signs that its Switch console is doing better. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for the Switch sold 1.2 million packages in the first 3 days after its December 7 introduction in Japan. In the U.S., Nintendo's biggest market, Amazon, said it was the best-selling item so far this year among video game-related products. The title, which gamers pick famous characters from Nintendo and non-Nintendo franchises to fight each other, was first released for the Nintendo 64 system in 1999, and has long been a top seller. Coming up, with providers like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon taking more creative risks, networks are placing bets on how audience experiences will evolve. What it all means for your streaming video needs now and in the future. Streaming video on demand has changed the audience experience in recent years, and apparently binge watching may only just be the beginning. Joining us via Skype to talk about how our video streaming experience is changing before our eyes and how it's going to continue to do so, he wrote all about it for the Journal, writer and journalist Stinson Carter. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So, you know, watching TV and movies, not what it used to be. Netflix and the like came the revolution of binge watching. We've seen it, been there, done that. You say, as we speak, things are evolving, though. It's a constant change in how we consume media, how companies want to provide us with the video experience. What's your assessment of where things are right now?
Obviously, you have platforms like Netflix that can be everything. But for those trying to make the leap, who are trying to go from cable to the streaming world, you know, which ones are we gonna buy? What are you gonna pay the $7.99 subscription for? Are you going to? I don't want to name any names, but there's certainly lots of channels that just sort of existed on the cable lineup that no one's really gonna be clamoring to pay a monthly subscription for. Whereas if you're looking at something like HBO, you know, I mean, for example, that's certainly one that I'm going to keep a la carte, even though I don't really use. I'm pretty much a broadband only subscriber myself.
Right.
So it's if you have that brand, and some of the people I interviewed, if you have, you know, FX, HBO, Showtime, if you have that brand equity, then people will want it. But otherwise, it's going to be a tough transition.
So do you think, you know, HBO is an interesting example because it is such a unique brand in and of itself. Maybe it's the cable networks with that good identity that might have the advantage here in this subscription-based world.
Yeah, I mean, those are the ones that are going to be able to migrate from cable only to any other way that someone might want to experience it. Whereas if you're just another channel that maybe kind of coasted on the fact that you had a deal with a big cable provider or a satellite provider, or maybe you had a couple of great shows, but your network itself never had an identity, that's going to be a hard sell for a monthly subscription.
And it kind of, always interesting to learn about human behavior. Learning about how it changes via the consumption of media is certainly interesting. How have we changed as the viewer, and what's been going on? What were you able to learn?
There was a word that a guy by the name of Thomas Bensky used, which was meritocratic. He said, television now is more meritocratic than it's ever been, because rather than having executives making all these decisions, you know, ultimately the behavior of the actual viewer, when you're sitting there and you're watching Netflix and you decide to finish a show, or you decide to stop a show halfway through, or you watch one episode and you don't finish the season, all of those things that you do are being recorded, and they're being used to determine what shows they green light, what shows they green light a second or third or fourth season for. It's sort of everything. I guess these creative decisions are being kind of crowdsourced in a way that they've never been before, by using this data in a very specific way, in a very targeted way.
Wow. Do you, that's interesting, because they're getting creative, yet, you know, they're very strategic in at the same time.
It's a weird kind of paradox, because they're using like more precise data than they've ever had. But that data has proven that they don't have all the rules, which leads to more creative risks.
Right.
So it's sort of a paradox, but they're connected.
So with our behavior changing the way it has, and how it's just changed and shifted the way everything works, ultimately, how is that going to continue to happen? What are we going to see, especially when you consider things like AR. Big picture, how do you see it all continuing to change?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to look at that, because there's the, you know, some of the people that I spoke to talked about the problem of reaching a point where we have too many subscriptions, and it becomes kind of untenable to have 8 different subscriptions in order to be able to get everything a la carte that you want. And it becomes more expensive than having a huge cable subscription. So there's that aspect of it. There's the consumer experience, and what is going to make the most sense to, you know, how people get it and how they pay for it as far as where this is going. There's also, you know, the fact that there's going to continue to be more creative risks as people try to grab this meritocratic, you know, audience. And then you have big players like Disney who are going to come in and, you know, obviously disrupt everything. Because if you think about all of the programming that exists fragmented now from Pixar and Disney and all these different entities they have, that is all going to be on, you know, on Disney services, that's going to be a huge deal. So I think that as far as, here's what's going to happen that I see based on talking to people who are more knowledgeable about it than myself, is that the days of scheduled television, linear television are over. I mean, the writing's on the wall. And so, you know, we're just going to get all of our entertainment exactly how we want it. And I do believe that there is a parallel thing happening where, you know, video games are becoming more like movies and television programs and good drama. And television is becoming, or it has the potential to be potentially interactive. So I don't know. I mean, I think that there are big surprises that could happen that we have no idea about down the road. I think ultimately the same things will entertain us, the same things will engage us, the same types of stories. But, you know, if we do have a say in how these things unfold, if there starts to be a collaboration between the viewer and the creator, there's no telling where that could go.
Stinson Carter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And that is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.